personal care attendant. There's other fancy names for them now. But many years ago, we won't talk about how long ago, it gives away my age. But I used to work as a personal care attendant, and I worked for a quadriplegic. And that quadriplegic had no real use of his arms or his legs. He was just able to move a little bit of his hand to move his wheelchair around. That was pretty much it. So I used to work for him, and I'd help get him up. I'd help get him into the toilet or the shower and do all these other bits and pieces for him. Of course, his head was still able to tell him what he needed to do, but he was very limited in what he was able to do. And we as the church, as a body, if we don't listen to what the head is telling us, what Jesus is telling us, the body then struggles to function. A church that's unresponsive to its head is every bit as tragic and heartbreaking to watch as it is to watch someone who can't physically get out and do much at all. We're also called a temple. The church is also a temple for the exclusive habitation and the use of a person with a dwelling within. So Jesus already dwells within us when we accept him as our Lord and Saviour. And he has a right to do with this temple what he wants. Now, I know I don't always treat this temple well. Most of us would struggle in some way, shape, or form. There are times where this temple will eat too much chocolate. There is. Or other junky food, but, you know, predominantly chocolate. There are times where the temple just continues to have these decisions that it does what we want rather than what the head of the temple should be doing, Jesus Christ. We're also an army. Now, we are a part of the Salvation Army, but Paul mentions the army way back 2,000 years ago. The church is an army under the command of a king. An army that will not obey its leader is useless as a fighting force. So if we say we are an army, and it's even more poignant in the fact that we're actually the Salvation Army, if we are a part of an army, then we listen to its head, its king, its leader. So Paul says to the church, obey your orders, follow your head. That is Jesus Christ. So what's the purpose of the church then? What is the highest part, the calling of the church? What's our highest priority? Now, you could ask 100 people down the street. I'm not going to tell you to do it now, but you can do it in an hour or so if you like. Go and ask a few different people, maybe not even 100. Ask some of your friends or your family or whoever. Ask them what the one purpose of the church is. And I can tell you now, you'll get a whole bunch of different reactions. In fact, even as I was thinking about this, I was having to stop and think about what is the purpose of the church? Well, I want to suggest that there's actually three key purposes of the church to start with. A lot of other things fall in underneath one of these three, but these are the three key things. Three, not two, three, of the church. The first, and this is probably one of the absolute hardest because we all muck up as people, is that the church is to reflect God's holiness. We, as individual Christians, are the church. Not the building, not just attending on once a week or whatever. The church, the person in the church, us, are to reflect God's holiness. So what the church is, rather than what it does. And there's been a big push in the last number of years for us to stop and think about what is it that we do rather than who we are. And yet if you go to other parts of Christianity, there's this big push for who we are rather than what we do. What we do comes out of who we are, or at least it should. And sometimes, well actually not sometimes, all of the time, you can tell who someone is by the fruit of their own lives. You can tell. You can tell if someone's actually right with God or not. Now, that doesn't mean that one of us is perfect. I mean, I'd love to say I'm perfect. Reality tells me absolutely not. I'd love to say that Andrew's perfect. he might be disappointed with this. No, he knows he's not perfect. Not one of us is. You see, only Jesus himself is perfect. But we are to be as holy as Jesus enables us to be. And the closer we get to God, the more holy we will become. Now, that doesn't mean that we hide ourselves away in a monastery or something like that, although if you need to, by all means. But it's saying that the being in love with God, being connected with him, is always meant to precede what we do. Always. As Christians, we are to be the moral example of the world. We need to be reflecting Jesus and have the same character as him. Now, we'll unpack that a little bit more very soon. But what does it mean for us to actually be holy? Well, that's a whole different... We could go on for quite some time about that, and we may tackle that fully in another series. But we are to reflect Jesus. So if someone looks at me, sure, they might see some funny-looking red socks. They might look at me and think, oh, she could lose 10, 20 kilos or more. She could, you know, she's a woman, so that could always be a bit of a challenge. You know, all these other sorts of things. But if they don't see Jesus in me, if they don't see Jesus in me, then I'm failing Jesus. They don't see Jesus in me, then I am failing him. The purpose of the church, that is each one of us here, is to reflect Jesus, is to be holy, is to have his character. The second one, the second purpose is to actually reveal God's glory. Now, I'm not saying that we're going to be able to reveal his glory by miracles, although absolutely, when God does that, we need to praise him for that. I remember earlier this week on Monday, we'd been down in Melbourne, we'd hunted for a whole bunch of places. I swear we went through about 12 different spots. And I'd been praying in the morning going, God, you need to give these girls a place to be able to live. And within half an hour, Samantha had rung me to say, we've got a place. To me, that was an answer to prayer. Now, it ended up falling through, but it was still originally an answer to prayer that they were able to get a place. You see, we are to live for the praise of God's glory, not ours, but to live for the praise of God's glory. We are to point everyone toward Jesus, not us, not even the Salvation Army as an organization, but to Jesus. That is what we're here for. We are not here as a first task, to provide welfare. We do it, but that's not our first and primary focus. Our first and primary focus of the church is to reflect God's holiness and to reveal God's glory. Now, we provide welfare because of who God is and how he looks after everybody, but that is not our first purpose. Our first purpose is that we have been chosen by God to live for his glory. So everything we say, everything we do, everything we think, everything should be reflecting Jesus Christ. That is what our purpose is. You see, when people see what we do, who we reflect, what we are, then God gets the glory and not us. And if they start praising us, we've got to deflect it back to where it really belongs. And I've got to say, the times when I was down at the marketplace or in other places, they come up and they say, oh, we love the salvos, it's so good what you do, rah, rah, rah. Yeah, okay, we can pat ourselves on the back and say we're wonderful. How awesome is it that we've done this bushfire thing? I've done nothing for the bushfires except for sat in the marketplace for a couple of hours. And some of you have done more hours than what I have for that. But again, remember, we don't do it for that. We don't do it for people to come up and say, thank God for the salvos. We actually do it to reveal God's glory. We do it to reveal God's glory. Did you know there's a secret about the church? It's the fact that Jesus lives in it, because he lives in us. It's actually a secret that so many people don't know. Even some of us as Christians don't always remember it, because we don't always listen to when Jesus is talking to us. We don't listen to the prompting of the Holy Spirit within our lives. The message of the church to the world is to declare him, is to talk about Jesus. Jesus is not meant to be a swear word. It's meant to be something that we are absolutely on fire and passionate about, and we want to see people come to know him because he's made a difference in our own lives. Right? Or not? Yeah. I hope he's making a difference in our lives. I know he makes a difference in my life. The calling of the church is to make visible the invisible Christ. Jesus isn't living in bodily form now, except through us. Except through us as a body of believers, as a church. We are to declare in word and demonstrate in attitude and deed the character of Jesus Christ. What's his character? Well, we could list a whole bunch of words, but the key character is love. Jesus is love. And love requires sacrifice. It requires discipline. It requires forgiveness. We are to declare the reality of a life-changing encounter with Jesus. That is why we are here. That is why we come on a Sunday or any other day to worship. We don't come to catch up with friends, although they're important. We don't come to listen to great music, although that can be important. We don't come just to grab a few loaves of bread, although that can be helpful. We actually come to worship God, to actually give him glory and to hear him speak to us so that we can live the next day, week, month for him. That demonstration of Jesus through us should be getting us to live unselfishly and lovingly. And so the third purpose of the church is for us to be a witness. And you can see they all link together. Because if we're not holy, if we're not becoming closer to God, then it's harder for us to witness to other people. It's harder for us to give God the glory because our pride gets in the way, or we just want to think of other things that are helpful for us. But instead, we are to be a witness to Christ and for Christ. Now, a witness is one who declares and demonstrates. Pete would probably be able to tell us a little bit more about a legal witness. We won't go there. I probably should have asked him earlier about that. But Peter says in, not this Peter, sorry, clarification, Peter in the Bible, although this Peter probably says it too. In 1 Peter 2:9, he says, "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, that you may declare the wonderful deeds of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light." We are the priesthood of all believers. We are together, bonded together. If we have Jesus Christ already living in us, then we are a family. And I don't know about you, and I've spoken to other people before about this. We can choose our friends. We can't choose our family, right? We're born into our family. We don't get to choose it. Some of us have had great upbringings in family. Some of us have had shocking upbringings in family. And it's not always helpful for us to think of the church as being a part of the family. But it is. We are a part of the family, which is why we need to then stop and think about how hard that can be to be loving, to be forgiving, to be patient. I am one of the least patient people I know. To be patient. We are indwelt by Jesus so that we may demonstrate the life and character of him in our everyday lives. In the Message version in Romans 12, it says, "Walk around in your living, breathing, everyday life." So, of course, the challenge is to live as a true Christian and not as a counterfeit. Last week, Andrew talked about true and false and what it looks like to be a real Christian or not. And he even talked about us having some of the bad people listed and the good people listed. And thankfully, he didn't do that, although none of us would probably be here now, including him. Just saying. None of us would be here. But the image Christians project, including myself, is not always true. And it's not always the biblical image of Jesus. You see, in the Passion Translation, it says, "With tender humility and quiet patience, always demonstrate gentleness and generous love toward one another, even those who may try your patience." Even those that may try your patience. Can you think of at least one person that does that for you? I'm not going to list who I'm thinking of, but there are a number. Myself is probably the biggest one. What does it look like for us to do that? The New Living says, always be humble and gentle, be patient with each other, making allowances for each other's fault because of your love. Gee, it's hard to do. Yeah? It can be really tough to do that. And of course, we can't do that on our own. That's why we've got God living within us, because we wouldn't be able to do it. I love the way the Message puts it. I don't want any of you sitting around on your hands. I don't want anyone strolling off down some path that goes nowhere. And mark that you do this with humility and discipline, not in fits and starts, but steadily, pouring yourselves out for each other in acts of love, alert at noticing differences, and quick at mending fences. How easy is it for us to maybe hold a grudge? Or to look at someone and say, well, that's what they were like 5 minutes ago, 5 days ago, 5 years ago, or more. It's actually really easy for us to do that sometimes. To actually sit back and go, nah, it's too hard. I don't want to have to try and mend that fence. I don't want to try and solve that. But if you were to look around the room, you could probably think of a number of people who are no longer here because they haven't felt like they were able to mend a fence. And you may well be feeling the same way at times. That there are people that you've been wanting to try and mend a fence with, but you haven't been able to. The character of Jesus is humility, patience, love, unity, and peace. You see, us as the church can't save the world, but the head of the church, the Lord of the church, certainly can. It's not the church for which Christians are to labour and spend their lives. We instead labour and spend our lives for the Lord of the church. So if anyone ever decides to leave the church, as in if they leave here, we're like, so long as you go somewhere, connect to another body of believers. And we'll look more at that in the coming weeks, but we cannot live without a body of believers around us. Well, we can, but we won't be effective. The supreme mark of authentic Christianity, of course, is love. It's love when we accept anyone wherever they are at. Doesn't matter where they're at, we'll accept them anyway. It's where we're tender-hearted and forgiving. It's where we seek to heal any misunderstandings or anything that's come along and hurt us or hurt someone else. Whether it's broken relationships or divisions that have happened or whatever. Think about how many people you have heard of or seen or churches that have broken apart because of differing sides. Now, I want to give you a tip. No one is like me. I know you're all grateful for that, and that's fine, but no one's like you either, right? We are all individuals. We are all individuals. We are deliberately designed like God. You see, God knit us together in our mother's womb, which means there is always going to be something that I think or agree with that Albertina doesn't, or that Ellen doesn't, or that Pete doesn't, or that Claude doesn't. There's always going to be something that we don't agree with. But that doesn't mean we can't live as a body of believers, as a family. John 13:35 says, "By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." So that love is never manifested in rivalry. It's not manifested through greed, prejudice, indifference. It's not in name calling or backbiting or in stubbornness or in divisions. It's not done by judgment. It's not done by being big or grandiose or more important. It's reflected by the holiness through our love. It's reflected by God's glory through our love. And it's reflected by sharing the witness of Jesus through our love. Our love for God and our love for others. Those who are already here, and for those that haven't yet made it here. We are a part of the body of believers, and by no means are we perfect. You see, the world is suffering, and I don't think we need to think too hard about that. We don't need to look too far around to see that. The world is suffering. You see, if you even look back to when the Ephesian letter was written, you will discover that what was happening then is very similar to what's happening now. Sure, it's not in ancient Greece or ancient Turkey, but it is very similar in many ways. Political unrest was all around. There was no real family values that were happening all that well. There was a whole bunch of things that's just been going on that our world suffers with. You see, the New Testament actually doesn't deal with a whole bunch of things that we as Christians often get caught up in. It doesn't tell us that we're meant to be involved in politics or defending family values or promoting peace and justice or opposing pornography or defending the rights of this group or that group. We're not told clearly through the Bible whether we're meant to do that or not. Jesus looked after those who were on the outcast, absolutely. We're not meant to not be concerned about those things, absolutely. We should be caring about those who have got war-torn countries and have tried to come to this country. We should be caring about those who are struggling. We should be trying to think and help as best as we can for anyone who's in need. You can't have the love of Jesus and not care about the heart of somebody else. But the New Testament says relatively little about each of those things because it actually wants us to stop and think about what is it that will heal people in those things. Sure, we can give them a bed. Yes, we can give them a place to be able to come. Yes, we can look after them and welcome them and accept them and whatever. But actually, it's through a relationship with Jesus Christ that's going to make the difference for each and every person, no matter what their background, what their issue is. You see, Jesus came to actually transform society. Part of our vision statement says to transform Australia one life at a time. He came to do that not through political action, but by dying on a cross, so that you and I and everyone else out there can actually have a new heart, a new spirit, a new orientation, a new direction, a new birth, a new life. That is why Jesus came, for you and me to have a whole new life. He died for that. He's given us a resurrected life, and he's given us the ability to have the death to self and selfishness. We can become more holy. You see, when we've changed from within, if we are changed from within, then our entire outlook on any relationship changes as well. And we automatically begin to see people in love. We don't look for an eye for an eye, which is in the Bible, an eye for an eye. But instead, we go by Jesus' words, which is, bless those who persecute you. Turn the other cheek. You see, Jesus really is the answer. He really is the answer. We can joke about it. We can say, oh, if anyone ever asks you a question, is Jesus the answer? He really is. He is the answer. So what's the purpose of the church? It's Jesus. Jesus bringing us to holiness. Jesus being revealed in glory. and Jesus being spoken about by you, from you and me. We're going to have an opportunity to sing together. And I want to encourage you, the band's going to come and help us. I want to encourage you that if you feel like you need to come and pray this morning, then that opportunity is there for you to do so. It's not easy to be in a family when we struggle to get along, and yet this is the opportunity for us to have Jesus work in our lives more and more. Bind us together, Lord, bind us together with cords that cannot be broken. As we sing this song, you may feel like you want to come forward and pray. You may just want to do that in your seats. But if we're going to submit fully to Jesus, if we're going to show that humility, there is times where we need to come forward and pray. If you want someone to pray with you, we'll enable ourselves to do that. If you need to just be with you and God, that's fine too. We'll just sing this through in that opportunity.